You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts in the Morning with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Roto Experts in the Morning. I'm Mike Blewett along with George Kurtz. Here for another 2 hours as we get you hyped up for the Pro Bowl. Roger Federer took down the Australian Open this morning, so big news there. I think that might be Grand Slam number 19. I'd have to double-check that, but he has the most in the Open era, so big win for him. A little bit of a throwback weekend in Australia, in Melbourne, I believe it is. So that is Venus and Roger Federer as the champs. Kudos to the veterans in that sport. So talk a little bit about the game at hand next week, George. We talked some about it yesterday, but still have New England three-point favorite. We have an over-under of 59.5. We do expect some points to be scored. If we're picking right now, we're saying it's over. We're not making our predictions just yet. We'll let things play out for another few days before we give those. I think I'm leaning New England, but I have a rooting interest in Matt Ryan. So maybe that'll shade my pick a little bit. So in any event, we talked a little yesterday, but give us some sense really how you think, like what level of success do you feel like Atlanta, who's the number one scoring offense going against the number one scoring defense, do you feel like there's any opportunity for New England to shut them down?
No, I don't think New England's going to shut them down. I'll say it again. Now, listen, New England's a good defense, so I don't want to hear from the Patriot fans, but they didn't face a top 10 quarterback this year. Yep. And that's the best quarterback as far as the rankings was Ben, and he was considered number 11. So and that's not their fault. You know, Scott Engel, like say, you have to beat who's on your schedule. And they did. But they haven't faced this offense. This is a good, legitimate offense. I know Atlanta's going to be able to move the ball somewhat. They're not going to go up and down the field like they did against Green Bay. I don't think they're going to score 45 points here. I certainly wouldn't like I thought they would against Green Bay, but I think they're going to be able to move the ball when they want to. I think I'm most curious about is who will Bill Belichick decide to take away? Is it going to be Jones? Is it going to be Freeman and Coleman take away the running game? Force Matt Ryan to make? I know you keep saying this week after week, Ryan's been known to make mistakes, to throw the big interception. Well, he hasn't done it.
I know. I'm happy about it.
Right, so I don't know if Bill Belichick wants to bank on that either. Yeah. I don't know if you want to bank on taking away the running game and let Ryan see if Ryan can beat you. Because in today's NFL, he just might be able to do that.
So what was interesting in that, we don't get a sense of exactly how it played out, but you and I both expected them to load up and try to stop Bell. Fortunately, Bell is out of the game, and they very quickly were able to keep Antonio Brown out of the game. Now, based on the coverages that the Steelers were seeing in the first half of that game, it looked like they were doing everything in their power to take away Brown. So I can't tell if they prioritized Bell, prioritized Brown. Doesn't mean you have to just pick one, but they were bracketing Antonio Brown a lot. He didn't see a catch until second quarter, I believe. So they did a really good job of limiting him.
It could have been Belichick saying, hey, there's no one else after Brown I care about.
Right.
Bell is a slow death. Brown is more the, a bomb rather than a knife attack.
Yeah.
So I get that. The problem is, Atlanta, I think I'm taking it to Julio Jones. I just think I want to take away Julio Jones.
Yeah,
I don't want
him to
control the game. And if with turf toe injury or whatever he's got or not, he made Green Bay look like kids out there.
I know.
I mean, really.
They could not cover him.
No, he was a man among boys.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see that happen. I just think in today's NFL, you don't want that one player in the passing game making huge chunks of yardage over and over. And you can't. Green Bay could not get up the field on third down.
That's right.
First couple of drives there when the game was really still in doubt, they were third and longs a lot. And Ryan would sit back there, no problem, find whoever he had to find.
Yeah, I mean, their offensive line is legit. I don't know if people realize how good Atlanta's offensive line has played this year. They've got a couple of younger players. They brought in Alex Mack. Now, that is actually a question mark. Alex Mack's health is in question for the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
I would imagine
injury.
He will try to get out there.
Yes.
But if it's that significant that they're talking about him being doubtful or questionable, then it's really bad.
What is he, one of the few players? Atlanta's one of the maybe two teams that had their starting five offensive line play every game.
That's right.
Even Dallas didn't have that.
That's right. And I think I heard Kyle Rudolph on
an interview the other day, and he was talking about the number of combinations that they had to use during the course of the year. I think they used seven different starting combinations in Minnesota over the course of the 16 games. I mean, that's a lot, and that's not...
None of them worked.
That's not the number of players. I mean, he said by the end of the year they were on their
apparently
sixth...
Mac has a fibular injury.
If it's a fibula injury, then he's probably got a broken leg. Like, what would the injury
assuming
be
it's
beyond?
Not a break, you would think bone bruise.
Yeah, but
assuming it's not a break. That's the first thing I thought of, too. That sounds like a broken leg.
You don't often hear about a fibula injury not anything other than a broken leg.
And a bone bruise is not going to take 2 weeks to heal.
Yeah, it'll be extraordinarily painful for him to be able to play.
That does sound like a cracked bone now, don't it?
Yeah, I wondered. Then they might just be playing possum there and saying, like, yeah, he's going to try and tough it out.
Are you
and
trying
like,
to say
oh,
NFL teams wouldn't tell the truth?
Yeah, actually, that would be interesting, right? If they're listening to him as doubtful, but meanwhile he's sitting there with a broken leg.
Oh, we've seen people with broken legs play before. Jack Young won. It's
that
happened.
That was 40 years ago, though. It is a different era.
Crack bone rather than a broke, you know, there is a slight difference. A crack or a hairline fracture rather than an actual break.
I can't imagine your center getting out there toughing it out with a broken leg. But I've seen, you know, we've seen crazy stuff like this before.
Like you said, I think at the very least he tries.
Yeah.
How long he can go, how effective he can be.
Take a snap.
Anyone's it's just assuming we're right. Maybe it is the bone bruise. Maybe. You know, and listen, practices starts on Wednesday. We'll know then.
That's true. So I'm with you. I think they try to take away Julio, try to make Matt Ryan make some tough throws. He does have the advantage. Like I said yesterday, he has the advantage over Antonio Brown in that he's got a lot of size. So Matt Ryan can kind of put up some jump balls and let Julio try to come down with it. Not that Antonio Brown doesn't win those sometimes, but he's not in the same physical position that Julio is. So offensive side of the ball for the Patriots, it's really business as usual. I think you made a good point earlier talking about the lack of good quarterbacks that they played this year. Now, listen, nobody's taking any credit away. The Patriots are 16-2 right now. They are rolling. They just destroyed. I mean, they beat the Texans by 18 points in a game where more than 18 points were in a game that they didn't really play well. And then they played against the Steelers team who forgot to coach.
I'm just trying to point out that they haven't played this offense.
Right. And they did play a lot of top defenses, but a lot of those top defenses, the Texans, for example, have poor quarterback play. So we're dealing with shorter fields. We're dealing with no threat to lose those games because the opposing quarterbacks couldn't push them all down the field.
You look at the quarterbacks they faced. It was Carson Palmer. Obviously, they faced the sixth quarterback, the three each in their division twice. Osweiler, you know, whoever was starting at Cleveland in week five. Yeah, Andy Dalton. They didn't even get Roethlisberger in the regular season. They got Landry Jones. Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson lit him up.
Yeah.
You know, so then they played Colin Kaepernick.
And the Seahawks put heat on Brady.
Goff, Flacco, Simeon. I mean,
Goff.
They didn't face anybody.
I know.
They didn't. They really didn't.
Flacco, yes, he has name recognition, but I think
Flacco's not even a top 20 quarterback.
I think we'd agree that Joe Flacco did not have a good season.
There's a reason why they didn't face a top 10 guy. There's no top 10 guy there.
Yeah.
You know, they avoided the Drew Brees of the world, the Andrew Lux and all that. But this is nothing against New England. Nothing at all. They're still a good defense. I truly believe that. I don't believe they're the best defense in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I don't know about to give them top five.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still a good defense. But I think they're going to have their issues with Atlanta.
Yeah. So, in any event, I was listening to just a couple of things this week, and I think it is worth noting that Vic Beasley gets a lot of the headlines for them for their pass rush, obviously, but New England can figure out a way to scheme Vic Beasley out of the game. What they are going to need, and what we often talk about when teams are playing the Patriots, is somebody other than your key pass rusher getting through there. The reason the Texans were successful is they had several guys putting pressure on, moving guys to different positions, pressure up the middle, breaking down the pocket. Whenever that happens to Brady, whenever it happens to any quarterback, they're going to have a tough day. But it's a one thing because Brady lacks mobility that you really need to do.
Yeah.
Push up the middle.
Pressure up the middle.
Pressure up the middle. The Pats offensive line has been really solid this year, much better than they were a year ago when they had a when Brady got beat up against Denver pretty badly, actually, in the AFC Championship game. So we'll see if they're able to do that. I do have some questions. I just wonder if Brady can sit back there for far too long and pick Atlanta apart in some ways, in the same ways the Steelers were picked apart.
And the answer is yes.
Yeah.
He isn't. New England's not going to have much of a problem moving the ball either. I mean, I don't see it happening here. And maybe Dwight Freeney has a great game left in him. Maybe. You know, I don't know if I see that. But I 100% agree with you about Belichick's not going to let
Vic
Beasley destroy this game for him. Yeah. That's not going to happen. You know, whether or not he two on him, chips him, whatever. He's not going to let Vic Beasley take this game over.
And he's not the same type of athlete, just no disrespect to him, but that Jadeveon Clowney is, where he's a lot bigger and he could break down the pocket in the middle. Right. You know, Vic Beasley's an edge rusher, straight up.
He does. And there's nothing wrong with that. Every team wants that. Hell,
he's going to make
a lot
of money in his life doing that.
And as you already said, the way to really get Brady off his game is pressure off the middle. And I don't know if Atlanta has that, to be able to do it without setting extra rushers. And if you do that, you don't get there. Well, we all know how that generally works out.
Yeah.
So that's why we think this game's going to be high scoring. Because I don't think New England has the much better defense. Not only do I think that's all that close, but I still think Atlanta will be able to move the ball on them. And I don't know how Atlanta stops New England at all.
And I just wonder... You know, LeGarrette Blount wasn't really part of the game plan against the Steelers for obvious reasons. They knew that they could pick apart that zone defense and just make it easy on themselves. I saved LeGarrette Blount in my playoff formats in fantasy, and I think there's an opportunity here. And
don't have a choice anyway, whether there is or isn't.
This is true, because I've used my Falcons and my one-and-dones.
Most of us are using players like...
out of my one-and-done. I can't make it up. I got killed because I used Julio against the Seahawks, so I missed Julio's big game, and I didn't pick Hogan last week. So there were people that put up 80 points between the two of those guys.
All about the crying.
That's right. So my two and done, maybe I could make a comeback there, but I'm not feeling good about that. But I just, you know, we'll take a look. After the break, we're going to go through the prop bets, and we'll see the odds on Super Bowl MVPs and all that kind of stuff. But without even looking at those odds, because I haven't looked at that yet, LeGarrette Blount would be an interesting guy for Super Bowl MVP.
Not going to happen, but sure.
You think he's just going to go to the QB like it always does?
It's going to be a high-scoring game.
What if LeGarrette Blount has, 120 and, three scores?
And what if Tom Brady throws for another two scores and 310? It's just so hard for a running back, outside of a god running back.
Yeah.
You know, like Emmitt Smith back in the day. Yeah, he could have gotten it.
Marshall Faulk,
same thing. LeGarrette Blount he had to do what you said. 123 scores, and Brady throws for 220 and one score.
Yeah, that's what it would have to be.
You know, that still gives minimum 28 points in New England, maybe even a couple field goals, 34. Could certainly happen, but that's why it's so hard. These MVP awards are geared towards the quarterbacks.
True.
A wide receiver can't get it, because guess what? No matter what you did, because the quarterback threw the ball to you.
Yeah.
You know,
it always bugged me, actually, that Roethlisberger didn't get it in the year that they beat the Cardinals, because Santonio Holmes had the great last drive and the great catch. He had the historic catch. But I always say to people,
some other issues as well there that may have come into play.
This is true. But I always say to people, did you see that last drive, how good Roethlisberger was on that last drive against the Cardinals? I thought he was as much the MVP as Santonio Holmes. In any event.
That's another reason I hate all those awards anyway.
Yeah, they're very tough.
They're all biased.
It's so limited to a couple of guys. And you know, if you're lucky enough to get a couple of interceptions because the quarterback didn't see you, Neil O'Donnell, Larry Brown, then you get the MVP award.
Brown made a career. The Oakland Raiders signed him next year to a big contract.
That was it.
It was terrible.
Yeah, and he cashed in. So we'll talk prop bets after the break. It's Mike and George on Roto Experts in the Morning. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning. Got some prop bets to go over for the Super Bowl.
I see you're being a good host, by the way, and trying to light some matches here.
So George mentioned during the previous segment, and our friend and colleague Tony Sincotta was listening, George mentioned that Joe Flacco was not a top 20 quarterback. I sort of let it go because we were in the middle of a rant, but Tony Sincotta takes issue with it. Says, have you seen some of the guys employed in the NFL? Obviously, Joe Flacco is a top 20. I would actually agree with Tony in this regard. He's not outside the top 20.
I'm looking now. What is he, 18? Seriously.
From a fantasy standpoint, he's probably right
Rodgers, Ryan, Brady, Breeze, Luck, Wilson, Cousins, Stafford, Winston, Palmer, Newton, Rivers. Easily over him, right?
I like Jameis more than Flacco, but I don't know if you could.
Not even close.
I do what like him. Flacco I just done? Said I like him more than. He won a Super Bowl MVP.
Oh, my God. I hate this. I hate this argument. So you're right there with the people who think Eli Manning's better than Dan Marino because he's won two Super Bowls.
No.
And it's he a bad argument. I don't want to hear that he won a Super Bowl. Who cares?
I do think that Flacco will never compare statistically to players that are not as good as him because of the offense that they play in. I think he's asked to make a lot of risky throws, and I think his completion percentage and the stats to go with it are never going to look upon Joe Flacco favorably, but I don't think he lacks the skill that some of these other guys have. But keep going. So, well, Jameis is the only one I said maybe.
All right. So where was it? That was 12. Then you got a whole bunch of guys where I put him in the same category with. And we're talking going into next season, right?
Sure.
Right. We're not talking careers. We're going into next season. So Bortles, Dalton.
Are we talking fantasy? We're talking real NFL.
Oh, in fantasy, I think he's probably worse than this.
I would not say that Blake Bortles compares to
Joe Flacco.
Oh, Dak
Prescott, I'll take him above him pretty
not
easily.
Not Bortles. You can't say Blake Bortles.
He's in fantasy?
In fantasy, sure. Yeah, I'm talking real NFL.
No, real NFL. Of course not Bortles.
Bortles is a disaster. Right now, we'll see. Maybe they can figure this out. Doug Marrone.
And I love when ESPN made a big thing this week about, Jacksonville comes out and says they believe they can win the Super Bowl with Bortles.
They should say that every year, every
what
team should say that.
What did you expect them to say? No, he sucks.
Yeah.
Guys, we have no chance to win the Super Bowl. We can't even make them win a playoff game. I mean, come on. I hate when they do that. What do you expect the other teams to say here?
Every team should be focused on the Super Bowl every year. We can all laugh, and the fan bases can laugh, and the fan bases can tell you. So in any event, on Twitter, I was just kind of lighting a match, waiting for George to respond to Tony's top 20. And here he is. He's responding to he's trying to name 20 quarterbacks better than Flacco. You did a nice job. I think we're out of room there because you mentioned a creaky Carson Palmer.
Well, that becomes more
creaky Carson Palmer and Bortles.
And now we're in the part where you can make arguments for guys.
Don't say Jay Cutler.
Oh, God, no. No. No.
Tyrod Taylor. You would take Tyrod Taylor over Flacco.
I don't think that's even close.
I would not do that.
Oh, my God.
I wouldn't. I think Joe Flacco's a better player than Tyrod Taylor, and fantasy is obviously not a consideration in this particular discussion, but I think Joe Flacco's a better player than Tyrod Taylor.
I'd rather have Taylor. Much more upside.
Kirk Cousins.
Yes.
You like Kirk Cousins better. Kirk Cousins has played a lot better recently, but...
That's all that matters.
I know.
I don't care about 5 years ago.
I mean, going into next year, yeah, I'd rather have that. But Ravens have some issues, you know. Ravens...
And they always have, really, if you think about it.
They're kind of a team in transition. A couple of older defensive players. Terrell Suggs, it's like keeps giving it one more year. And we'll see. I mean, they weren't miserable. You know, they were around 500. So... we'll see. But I'm going to put Flacco in the top 20. George, you can keep hammering away.
I mean, like I said, I just threw out top 20. I may have him at 18.
Yeah.
If you want to argue that he's a top 20, I'm not going to argue with that.
Okay.
If you want to say he's top 12, I think you're smoking the good stuff.
Yeah. So, all right. Here's some prop bets. Will either team score three straight times? It excludes extra points and two-point conversions, includes safeties. So you have... yes at minus 190, no at plus 170. So that'd be, for example, a Falcons touchdown, a Falcons field goal, and a Falcons touchdown.
I think we know what three straight means.
Yeah, I'm just they put that on here so that people
either
don't get confused.
Score three straight. I'm going to vote yes because Super Bowls tend to get out of hand late.
Yeah.
I'll vote yes. Give me yes.
Okay. So you like that one? That's kind of an interesting one. There's actually one on here.
By the way, for those who are wondering about prop bets, if you're going to a party where you're playing with, you're going with your wives and girlfriends, you want to get them involved, prop bets are fantastic.
The prop bets are fun. That's one, just to kick it off. The prop bets are a lot of fun. They do tons for the Super Bowl.
You can make up your own.
I have like hundreds here. Because
right. It's great. If everybody throws in $5 and the winner gets the pot or whatever it is, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you have another one here. Will there be a missed extra point kick?
Gus Kowski and Bryant. It's in the dome. I'm going to vote no.
Okay.
Yeah, you'd have this has been the year of the missed extra point.
It has been.
But I'm going to vote no. I know Gus Kowski has had his issues. I think Bryant missed one last week, didn't he?
He did, actually.
I think he did, yeah. So he got that out of his system.
He did, yeah. Gus Kowski has missed a bunch this year, I believe. Team to score first, Pats or Falcons?
Who gets the ball first?
You got to do that right now, buddy.
I'll go New England.
Team to score last, Pats or Falcons?
Once again, that's there's no way. I'll go.
I would think the money would be big on the Falcons either way, because either they're scoring to win the game or they're scoring to try to get back into it. I don't.
I like the but I don't know if this game's a blowout. I just don't see.
But you know, Tom Brady could be the last second, could have the last second drive too. I'm just speculating.
I'll go Atlanta as the last.
Okay. Longest touchdown of the game, over 49.5 yards. George is dying here, so sorry. If he passes away, I'll keep going with the prop bets, and I'll just vote myself. Longest touchdown of the game, over 49.5 yards. It includes all returns.
I'll play the percentages there. I'll go under.
Ironic thing here. If there's no touchdown, all bets are refunded. That's an odd Vegas.
Sure, it's going to be a 9-6 game. Just what we all believe.
That would be unbelievable. Largest lead of the game by either team, over 16.5.
No.
You're under. Okay, under.
I was thinking 13.
Yeah.
I can see two scores being there, but not 16.5, no.
Will there be a safety?
No.
Yeah, it's heavy against.
Right.
It's heavy against the no. You'd have to put up $900 just to win 100, but it's you get good odds, 6-1 odds if there is a safety. There has been a bunch of safeties too.
Yes.
Patriots have played in games where their safeties.
Wilson tripped over his center last in the wild card round.
And Brady threw the
second
intentional
round,
grounding in 2011. Brady threw the intentional grounding, got a safety. And I think when they played the Panthers, there was a safety
I'm just playing the odds. Yeah, I'll say no to that.
Total number of different players to have a passing attempt, over 2.5. That's an interesting one.
So is there going to be a running back or a wide receiver throw the ball or
I would bet that
fake
one.
Punt?
I would bet that one.
New England doesn't have anybody. Oh, no. Amendola's done it. Oh, is Edelman has thrown the ball? To Amendola. I think I've seen that.
Edelman threw it to Amendola for the touchdown in the playoffs. Is that the Super Bowl? No,
I think
was
it was
a playoff game. Divisional playoff game, I think. It wasn't against.
I'll vote no. Once again, going with the odds there, but I do kind of like that one.
The over-under on Tom Brady passing yards is 310.5.
I'm going over.
Okay. We don't have the Ryan ones here. Will the game be decided by, will there be overtime?
No.
That's 1,100 to bet.
I hope
to
there
win
is.
100. So if you, there never has been. So if you bet $100, you can win 700 on that one. So. Will Garrett Blunt score a touchdown in the first half? Just to show you the level of breakdowns that these have, I have pages in front of me.
Will there be a missed field goal? Well, who will win the corner? Well, you know, which direction will they kick the ball? The opening kickoff.
There were some cool ones the other day too. I saw it was New England's points versus LeBron James's total.
Right,
that same
you get
day.
Stuff that
it's like 28
that crazy stuff. You're gonna get stuff like will the national anthem go over 2.5 minutes?
Yeah, you can get that one for sure.
You can
two
do
and
anything
a half.
You want here.
If it's 2.5, you take the under, by the way. It's usually a little lower than that.
Oh,
I've timed
God.
This out
these
before.
All these singers want to make names for themselves, and they stretch out every note.
Will Martellus Bennett score a touchdown?
No.
Surprisingly good odds there if he does score a touchdown. So
I wanted to say yes there.
What will happen first? Patriots score or Patriots punt?
Score.
Just going right down the field there.
Yeah, I think this game's going to be points on the board.
Total touchdown passes by Matt Ryan. Over two is two is the over.
I'll go over.
Wait, what is this? All right, it's a 2.5. I'm sorry. There's some sort of typo here. So,
well, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
He's not going to throw 2.25.
Yeah, I'm just saying they wouldn't put it at two. They would have everybody pushing on the
over under. Right.
Yeah.
I'll go.
So,
I think he's on three.
Total receiving yards by Julio Jones, over 95.5.
Oh, that's a high number. I do think they're going to try and take him out. Oh, I like that number. I really do. I think they did well here. I'd be hoping more for an 80 number. I'm going to keep going. High scoring game. I'll go over. It's one play.
Will Julio Jones score a touchdown?
Yes.
You're going over on Julio on the yardage?
I don't like it. You know, but I'm going to keep
100 yards and a touchdown.
I'm going to keep my theme here. I think the game's nuts.
But you know what? If Julio Jones has 100 yards and a touchdown, it doesn't guarantee them a win.
No, of course not.
35 points. Total receiving yards by Mohamed Sanu, 45.5.
I actually like that over more than I like the Julio over. Because if my theory is right that they do try and take Julio Jones out, well, that leaves Sanu with a lot of one-on-one.
I kind
of
do, too. Yeah, total receiving yards by Taylor Gabriel, 50.5. It's actually higher than the Sanu one.
He's a one big play guy where he could get it.
They're not going to give him.
Sure,
they
over.
They don't give up big plays.
Over.
Okay. keep going.
Taking all the overs.
Total receiving yards by Austin Hooper, 11 and a half.
That one's a
crazy
little
low
nuts.
Number.
I got to go over there. It's too low.
Longest reception by Levine Toilolo, 13 and a half yards.
I'll take the under.
No, you don't like Levine Toilolo.
I can't like both tight ends. God.
This is unbelievable that this one is on here. The longest gross punt by Matt Bosher from the Atlanta Falcons, 56 and a half. I mean, can you imagine the guy in Vegas? It's like, you know what? I think Bosher just crushes one into the end zone, 56 and a half. I'd take it.
I would take it, too. 56 is a gross. You didn't even say net.
That's right.
So that means, absolutely could bomb one. The adrenaline will be flowing there. Like you said, all he needs is a kick from like his own 40, and all of a sudden that guy lets it go and it bounces in.
Just to show you, they leave no stone unturned. The shortest gross punt by Matt Bosher, 37 and a half. So if he shanks one.
Not even a shank, could be a pin.
Yeah.
A pin.
That's a short punt, though. Will the Falcons score in all four quarters, overtime excluded?
God, so that's another guessing game one. There's really no strategy there. I'll have to vote yes. Everybody yes for all the scores, right?
Okay, more completions, Brady or Ryan?
Brady, short passes.
More touchdown passes, Brady or Ryan? You like Brady there, right? Oh, no?
No, because, I mean, it can go either way, but I think New England with the short passes will have some opportunities inside the five-yard line where Blunt's going to run in.
More rushing yards, Deion Lewis or Devonta Freeman?
Freeman.
More receiving yards, Julian Edelman or Julio Jones?
Jones.
More receiving yards, Chris Hogan or Taylor Gabriel?
Well, you just never know with Hogan. Is he going to be a big part of the game plan this week? Is he not? But that Atlanta secondary is so bad. Hogan.
More receiving yards, Deion Lewis or Tevin Coleman? That's a good one. That's a hard one.
That is on Coleman, though.
I would go Coleman, too. I just think he probably sees more passes. I think LeGarrette Blount probably sees a lot of touches in that game. Not that Freeman won't, but I just can see Blount out-touching Freeman for rushing attempts.
Sure.
Yeah. Here we go. Here's some of the fun ones.
You haven't had fun ones already?
Yeah, we've got some good ones here. Wow. Who will have more? The Pelicans, Wizards. Oh, it's John Wall points, 9.5, or the distance of the first Matt Ryan touchdown pass.
Well, first of all, who's John Wall?
John Wall is the point guard for the Washington Wizards.
So he'll 9.5. I don't know him, so I have no idea what his average points per game is. 9.5 or Matt Ryan's first touchdown pass?
Yeah.
Assuming Wall is some great player that I'm missing here, I'd probably go Ryan.
Yeah, I don't know. That seems like kind of a low number. So there's a few more of these. We're going to pause here. I'm going to pick out a few more, have George keep going through it. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning. Continuing to go through some prop bets, having a little bit of fun with the game next week, just 7 days away. 7 days and about 10 hours from now, we'll see kickoff. So continuing to go through some prop bets. This is one of the ones I saw the other day. So LeBron James, you know who he is? You ask who John Wall is. He's like a top point guard in the league. He's averaging 23 points a game, which is why I think there's a typo here. I don't know why they would ask John Wall 9.5 points. Guy's averaging 23 points a game.
Yeah, that's an issue.
The Matt Ryan touchdown pass. It's got to be something to that. But in any event, this one is LeBron James points versus Matt Ryan completions. Let me figure out what LeBron is averaging exactly per game. And this will probably give you a little bit more insight, George, as to LeBron is averaging 25.7 points a game. He's playing the Knicks that day, though. Knicks cannot play defense. They're defensively challenged. That's a 30-point game.
So we look at Ryan completion seems to be 27. I think I'm going LeBron points.
I would go LeBron points there as well. That would be a lot of completions for Matty Ice. But who knows? Maybe LeBron James doesn't play in the fourth quarter because they're winning by 50.
You're a Knicks fan? You sounded angry there.
I am a Knicks fan, but my fandom has been totally drained over the last 15 years. It was a nice little highlight a couple of years ago when Melo got them into the playoffs, but now they're going to move on from Carmelo. So the only guy you can attach yourself to is Kristaps Porzingis, and I like him. He's a good player, and I wish he would touch the ball even more than he is. But after that, crapshoot. They got a bunch of guys that they don't even really want on the team. So there's a lot of like prop bets here, including the NBA and some other, just college basketball in here. You have all kinds of different players. Will the Celtics have more first half points, or LeGarrette Blount have more rushing yards? Which is kind of,
it's fun.
Celtics first
it's
half
just
points
fun.
Versus LeGarrette Blount rushing yards. So, say the Celtics are looking at a 110 kind of night or 115 kind of night. Right. You know, 60
so if you,
first
if you're going
half
to a
points.
Party with a whole bunch of basketball fans, you gear your questions towards basketball.
Here we go.
You know, it's just like I said, in my mind, it's just a blast this could be with people who are. Like I said, I know when if I were to go to a Super Bowl party, I'd probably be going with people. Not everyone's a big Super Bowl fan. The wives don't care. You know, maybe some kids are blah blah. No one cares. So it's a way to get everybody interested, and it keeps people talking about the game.
How about this one? Tiger's got to be in this one, but Tiger Woods' first round score versus Matt Bosher's first gross punt.
I'll say as far as gross, I think Tiger's score will be higher.
Yeah, wouldn't it?
You would think. Tiger's not very good anymore. He's not shooting
in the 60s. That doesn't seem like...
If he was shooting in the 60s, I might take that.
Right?
That seems to be an easy one.
I don't get that one. Okay. Tiger Woods' fourth round birdies. This is in the Dubai Desert Classic, the Omega Dubai Desert Classic. His fourth round birdies versus the Patriots plus Falcons field goals made.
Boy, that's tough. The way Tiger's been playing, though, I got to go with the field goals. Fourth round birdies, maybe 18 holes, three would be a really good day.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know.
But
who doesn't make the fourth round, by the way?
Then it bet doesn't count.
Oh.
To take it off the board.
Yeah, it'll be off the board. You'll know it by then.
Yeah. Well, you bet it right now. You wouldn't know it. I guarantee there's people that have already put money on this.
Of course.
One. So you get refunded. So I think.
I would hope so. Who would bet it if you don't get refunded?
Well,
you're
betting that now and Tiger doesn't make the cut, then you're SOL.
And you lose? Oh, forget that. Who would bet that? Why would you do that?
I don't know. Yeah, I assume you get refunded, but who knows? Tiger Woods fourth round bogeys versus Matt Ryan touchdown passes.
Fourth round bogeys.
So you got like three bogeys.
Same thing. It's the same thing. I'll probably go.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
That's a hard one.
It's not an easy answer there. Keep trying to think there. I think because I have three each. You know, that'd be a pretty much a tie. I would have to go with, let's hope Tiger has a bad game.
Yeah. So how about Tiger Woods' 72-hole score versus Tom Brady gross passing yards? All right. I don't understand that one. Sorry.
Well, 72-hole score would be all four rounds.
It would be like 200. It would be like, 200.
260. The odds are, what's gross passing yards?
260.
Yeah, 72 is 240. What is it, 248?
260 four, would be unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm saying I'm upping it.
Yeah.
So I'm going with Tom Brady, either way.
Yeah. So 72-80. Yeah. But yeah, you already had Tom Brady over 310. So if Tiger shoots 310, he'd be coming last in the tournament. He would somehow make the cut and then come in last in the tournament. They have Henrik Stenson in here. They have Hideki Matsuyama. They have
those guys.
College basketball stuff. Those are all players. We have English Premier League, George, which I watch.
Oh, my God.
You don't watch. There's an English Premier League match on
now. I'm watching the skills competition like the 18th time.
Oh, there it is.
It's the only show when we're here.
Yeah, I still haven't seen the entirety of it. I'm
not missing anything.
Bunch. So who will have more? Let me pick my team, see if my team's playing that day. Manchester City, Real Madrid, Wales at Italy. There's a heavyweight title bout. Anthony Joshua versus Vladimir Klitschko. It's in London, England. This is a long-term bet because the fight isn't until April 29th.
Yeah, well, I'm not doing that.
I think.
There wouldn't be a fight on Super Bowl Sunday.
That's right. There wouldn't be. I would just assume it was the night before.
Right,
but
it says
it says the fight must be completed by April 29th, 2017. So I assume that's the date. The number of completed rounds in the Anthony Joshua Vladimir Klitschko fight or Patriots and Falcons first quarter points.
I'll take the points.
Yeah, it's an easy one, right?
Right. Well, they go over 14.
Make a ton of money, George.
Two touchdowns, you're a winner.
Oh, I should have done. You know what? We're gonna do another segment of this because I'm having fun with it, and there's some hockey stuff in here for George. So we'll take a quick break right here. Mike and George back after this. Welcome back to the Alternative Facts Radio Show. As Tony Cicada has called us on Twitter, we're the Roto Experts in the Morning, but Tony Cicada, our beloved colleague, feels as if we're spreading alternative facts, or at least George is, in pushing Joe Flacco outside the top 20. But I digress, because we're talking some hockey and Super Bowl prop bets. George, this is the ones that you wanted to hear. So,
yes, I was dying for them.
Who will have more? Kings Capitals points equals points equals goals plus assists, shootout goals excluded, just for everybody knows. George knows this, but everybody knows. Who will have more, Nicklas Backstrom points or Patriots plus Falcons fumbles lost?
Who are the Capitals playing that
they
day?
Are playing the Kings. They play in Los Angeles.
Probably going to be a very low-scoring game. The Capitals are lighting it up. Fumbles lost. Super Bowl. You know what? I'm still going Backstrom. I don't think I'm not going to see a lot of fumbles.
Okay. Who will have more? Kings, Capitals. We got Alex Ovechkin. You know who he is?
Yeah, I've heard of AL. Grade 8.
He won half a shot on goal. What is this?
I'm sorry.
Versus
what?
Matt Ryan touchdown passes plus interceptions. More than a half a shot on goal or touchdown passes plus interceptions. That doesn't make sense. There's typos in here, so my apologies. But all right, go back.
Maybe every shot on goal equals a half. So if he gets 10 shots of goals, he gets 5 points. Maybe that's where it's going there. I don't
maybe,
know.
Maybe, maybe. Dustin Brown points.
The other thing.
Tom Brady versus interceptions. Tom Brady interceptions. Not the other thing, necessarily. Tom Brady.
Dustin Brown's not a very good offensive player in this day and age.
Yeah, well, he just needs a point, right?
Brady, he has thrown some picks, though, in the playoffs.
He didn't come anywhere near one against the Steelers.
God. Oh, that's probably a zero for each. Probably going to end up being a refund, but I'm going to go with Brady there.
Just for the record, George, yes, he threw two picks against the Texans. He's thrown four interceptions the whole season.
But there you go. So he's thrown 2-2 games in the playoffs, 2-12 games in the regular season.
He went 11-1.
I didn't say anything about his record.
He's 13-1. He's thrown 28 plus, I don't know, what he's got, 34 touchdowns right now.
But what's your point here, Mike?
I'm just saying. It's not like the guy, you know, like, yeah, he's throwing some interceptions. Like,
well,
yeah.
He's thrown two in his last two. Well, remember, we're comparing
two in his last two
games. You're comparing him to Dustin Brown. I know you don't know who Dustin Brown is.
I know. Well, I know who
he is. He's not very good. This is nowhere near a top line.
I'm just saying Brady can come away with another clean game against the Falcons defense.
I think Brown's probably, odds are, going to get a zero as far as points. And I think that's a refund. I think they won't get a zero.
Yeah, you're getting better odds on Dustin Brown there. So who will have more? Oilers playing the Canadiens that day. Connor McDavid points. Steven Gostkowski field goals made.
Tough. 2-2. I'm going to go with Connor McDavid. Montreal's a beat-up team.
Okay. They're good this year, though, right?
They are. They have a lot of injuries right now, and they're running away with their
first
division.
First place. Yeah.
Yeah, their division.
So they're resting guys.
Their division's crap.
Yeah. And the Oilers not so...
Oilers actually turned around.
That's right.
Yeah, Connor McDavid turning the organization around. Good for them.
Well, four consecutive first-round number one picks, right?
Yeah, I was going to leave that out.
Oilers, Canadiens. Shea Weber, shots on goal. Tom Brady, touchdown passes.
Shea Weber shots on goal. I'll take the shots.
Canadians goals versus Martellus Bennett receptions.
Give me Bennett.
Yeah, your odds are. Yeah, you got to pay for that. Rangers are playing the Flames, Calgary Flames. Rangers goals, Pats plus Falcons field goals made.
Ooh, that also smells like a tie for me. I'm going to take Rangers goals.
Flames Rangers goals, Matt Bryant field goals made.
Just one?
Yeah, just Matt Bryant.
Well, if I like the Rangers' goals against two.
Oh, yeah, sorry. This is an interesting one, one you'll like, and then we'll get to the good stuff. We have the Vegas Golden Knights. So this is a long-term wager.
Obviously, they're not playing until next October.
Vegas Golden Knights Is that, by the way, tell me for a second about Vegas Golden Knights. That's not a team moving. That's just a new franchise, correct?
Expansion. Okay.
Is there any other expansion on the horizon?
There should be to even things out, either in Seattle, maybe Quebec.
So it's going to be an uneven number of teams. It'd be the 31st franchise.
The NHL's all screwed up like this. Yeah, the NHL goes backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because they don't, like the NFL and baseball have the shorter divisions. Seattle has a shot. Quebec has wanted a team for a while. If that Canadian dollar can fix itself.
Well, I wouldn't hold my breath on that. But
I think Quebec's
so funny. You're talking about
right now.
You're talking about. I mean, the Canadian teams fell apart financially.
Yeah.
I know the NHL is in a much stronger financial place now than when that did happen. They've worked out the network deals. They've worked out the salary cap, obviously. But
there's no perfect locale for the next
And team. I don't think expansion is necessarily in their wheelhouse.
The Islanders aren't going to be in Brooklyn for long either.
But isn't that a very long-term lease?
Nope.
So
the team
have
can opt out after next season.
That's going to happen.
Yeah, the Islanders are already looking now.
So would they likely just move to Quebec? Something like
I think they'll stay in somewhere in New York. I have a funny feeling something will be worked out around Shea, City Field.
So they're going to build that arena that they've
something around there in the Queens area where it'd be easier for the commuter, because Nassau County fans have been complaining forever how hard it is to get to Brooklyn.
It's not that hard.
I'm just telling you what the commute
is. I'm just telling you it's not that hard. I've done that commute a million times. I live relatively close to the city in Nassau County.
Yeah, you're
County.
Almost right on the border there.
Yeah.
You know, fans who are on the North Shore.
That stinks.
Or Suffolk County,
no,
where
that's
I am.
Hard.
It's a two-hour hike.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's easy, but it just takes a long time. I put easy in quotes.
There's nothing easy on Long Island.
So anyway, we'll go back to the Vegas. Yeah, this is true. We'll go back to the Vegas Golden Knights. They must play 82 regular season games for this action to happen. So
God, yeah, this is a long-term bet.
Their season points, it's the 2017-18 season. Their season points are Devonta Freeman rushing yards.
Oh, give me Freeman.
All right, so...
Although I don't think the Golden Knights will be a terrible team, not with the way the expansion draft is going to work.
How's it going to work?
Each team can only protect, without getting into... they can only protect at most 10 players, so they're going to have some good players.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a hookup. That's like what happened with the NFL expansion in the mid-90s.
They want these teams to...
They're
paying $500 million. They want these teams to be good right away. I get it.
Yeah, they made these teams... They made those teams too good, and then it screwed the Texans, where they pulled back on all those rules, because the Panthers got to the NFC Championship game in
Jags
their second season.
Right,
the
Jags
should have been in the Super Bowl, and then the Texans were the worst franchise by far when they started. So,
I see Sincata said, next NHL team in Kansas City. They have the arena. The Islanders at one point looked like they were going there.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're the market's quite that big there.
I thought Kansas City was the odds-on favorite.
I think, remember, they already got one USA team. I have a funny feeling they want to put the next team in Canada. Canada.
Well, that would be how many Canadian teams then? We got Vancouver. We got Winnipeg. We got Calgary.
You can do it.
We got Toronto, Montreal, and then it would be Quebec.
Oh, you missed one.
Ottawa.
Calgary, Edmonton, Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Vancouver. Montreal, Toronto. How can you forget an original 16?
What, I said Toronto and Montreal. I didn't say those.
It doesn't matter how many.
Whatever.
It doesn't matter how many Canadian teams they have.
It
anyway.
Does matter. Yeah, I'm saying I don't know that they could support another team. And Kansas City might be financially a better move for them than putting another team in Canada when this failed last time.
It did.
They don't get as much public funding, obviously, for the teams up there. There's,
no.
There's less support.
But they have an arena ready, too. That's also going to be a huge... Casey has an arena as well.
Yeah, so... All right.
Seattle was close. That's where the NHL really wanted to go.
I don't see that, but I'm not as close to the sport as you, so I'll trust you.
There's nobody who's really a favorite right now.
So, got a couple of minutes left. I want to go through these, because these are the ones that people will really be betting on a lot. Player to score first touchdown of Super Bowl 51. The odds rank from Dion, the lowest odds, why don't they put these in order? The lowest odds are Julio, Hogan, Edelman, Blunt at 8-1. It ranges up to no touchdown scored at 500-1. We got Brady at 20-1. That would have to be rushing touchdown. Matt Ryan at 20-1.
Yeah, I wouldn't go Brady, Ryan, not going Edelman either. I think I'd go Blunt to Freeman, sort of play the whole wall.
Freeman is sorry. I messed up. Freeman, why don't they have this in order? Freeman is 7-1. He's the lowest odds.
Yeah.
So Deion Lewis 10-1, LeGarrette Blount. I'd go LeGarrette Blount 8-1. If I'm going for a value play, I think Taylor Gabriel at 15-1 is kind of interesting there. Malcolm Mitchell is 18-1 as well. Player to score the last touchdown, Super Bowl 51, ranges from Chris Hogan at 8-1. A couple other guys at 8-1, all the way up to 30-1 for Aldrick Robinson. So that's one. That one's not that great. I don't love that. Player to be named Super Bowl MVP. So the odds right now, Matt Ryan is 8-5. Tom Brady is 10-11. That's not good money. Deion Lewis, 25-1. Edelman, 18-1. Martellus Bennett, 50-1. Gostkowski, 100-1. Malcolm Butler, 80-1. Devin McCourty, 200-1. Vic Beasley, 100-1. You could get really good odds on Von Miller last year.
Sure.
And I actually like that bet a lot. I wish I had put money on it. But Super Bowl MVP, your odds, I mean, clearly they're heavy towards
to
Brady.
But
you wouldn't bet on Brady at 10 to 11. You'd just go for Matt Ryan, just take, which is only 8 to 5, but still, that's not great.
There's not a defensive player there but that I love. I don't think Vic Beasley's going to have that kind of impact. I guess, you know, I can see a cornerback all of a sudden having two returns for a touchdown. But my problem is I think there are going to be so many points scored in this game. This won't be where the, a 16-13 game where a defender can have three sacks
like
and take it over.
700 yards of offense. Right. It's not going to get it. A defensive player is not going to win in that kind of scenario.
No, it's going to be an offensive player.
Yeah. So total points scored in Super Bowl 51 ranges from 0 to 7. That's 1,000 to 1. All the way up to 80, 91 or more, which is 10 to 1. The lowest odds are in the 51 to really 46 to 55 range, 66 to 70, also not great. We did mention that the over-under is, sorry, the lowest odds are 56 to 65 in that range. That's where the over-under sits at 59.5. So 11 to 2, though, are your odds. They're actually not that bad.
No, I'll take 5.5 to 1.
Yeah, that's right. So kind of like that. Margin of victory, obviously that's going to be 3, double result of, let's see, pick the final score. The final score for the Patriots in Super Bowl 51. That ranges all the way up to 50 plus at 40 to 1. But your odds obviously are going to be right in the 30 range.
Nah, that's what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to. If you ask me to pick a final score today, I'd probably go 35-31 New England. 38-35, 38-34. Points.
Here's a good one.
Cha-ching.
Here's a good one. Score first and final result. You have to match them together. Patriots score first and win the game. That's 7-4.
Sure.
Patriots score first and lose the game. 7-2. Why Falcons score first and Falcons win the game. That's 2-1. And Falcons score first and lose the game. That's 4-1. That's
cute.
The one you go for. Right?
Sure.
They score first and lose the game.
Lose the game.
Total rushing yards by New England. Super Bowl 51. Lowest odds you're getting here are, geez, it's a wide range. That's not. I'm not doing that. I'm not. Never bet that. Total field goals made, George. Here's the money bet. 3 is 5-2. 2 is 11-4. So where are you going?
I go 3.
So there you go.
Sounds about right.
All right.
What's the worst Super Bowl party you've been to?
The worst Super Bowl party.
I got a good story. That's why I wrote it up.
Well, we're gonna do that after the break because we only got like 2 minutes to go here, but. I'll give you mine. So for a while there, when I lived in Boston, we would throw these parties, and they ended up being pretty successful because we would have a lot of like women over that would help us. You know how guys are with Super Bowl parties, especially guys when we're in our 20s. We're like 24, 25. If you just invited your guy friends over, they'd just get up and leave when they were good and hammered, and like they'd be out the door at 10:30 as soon as the game ended, maybe even before if the game was out. And they wouldn't help you clean up. When we started making it more of a co-ed situation and bringing girls over that we knew, or girlfriends, their friends, all that kind of stuff, then when the game was winding down, it was like a 5-minute furious cleanup, and we could hang out, and it was so much better. We'd just get our big garbage can, throw it out. That's when I realized, like, that's why you need this to be a co-ed situation, not just your buddies. It made the party more well-rounded, and it was like immaculate when the game was over. We didn't have to clean up food. We didn't have to clean up cups, beer cups, grenades that people left behind with half-filled beers. That was all good to go. So that's what I would say. That's why you have to have it well-rounded, not just in the food choices, but in the people that are coming over your party. We're older now, so any party we have is kind of going to be co-ed with kids and all that kind of stuff. But I'm saying to our younger listeners, somebody like Pete Considori, our esteemed producer, when he's going to a Super Bowl party, it can't be just you and your idiot buddies.
Well, it can, sure.
I mean, it usually is, because guys that are young are idiots. They don't figure it out. I'm trying to bestow some advice.
Of course, I asked your worst advice. Super Bowl party.
I have to think about it.
Not how to make it. Well,
I can think of an incident that happened at one of the parties I'm telling you about. I don't think it's safe for air. I'll do a vetting process with you off air. And we'll figure it out. But we're going to hear about George's worst Super Bowl party ever as I watch the dodgeball game in the background. That's 2 hours down. We're talking prop bets. We're talking about the Super Bowl. We'll talk about whatever we want in the next hour. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts in the Morning with hour number 3 after this.